And let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm reading these well-known verses of the Bible, not just of the book of Romans, but of the Bible. And we'll read just from verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these are tremendous verses, and may the Lord indeed enrich our hearts with them. You have to read these verses slowly in Romans chapter 8 and just try to take in the love of God, the powerful love of God. I just couldn't find a word there. Powerful love of God, the mighty love of God, the majestic love of God, the eternal love of God. All those things would have been right. And Paul has been asking a series of questions, maybe quick fire questions, from verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it's interesting, it doesn't say there the love of God. It's the love of Christ. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And this shows the Trinity. Now this shows that God is the Son, and the Son is God, the deity of Christ. It's not two loves, it's one love. God's love for his people. And as I've said right from the start, when we start to look at this great chapter, it is for God's people. There is therefore now no condemnation. It's a great comforting chapter. If ever at times you doubt your salvation, if there are dark times that you're passing through, it's good to sit down and read Romans chapter 8. It's a comforting chapter to the Christian. It is a challenging chapter to those who are not Christians. You are under the condemnation of God. You do not know all that is outlined in Romans chapter 8. I know that you would come to know in your heart. And when it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God, it's not our love to him. It's his love to us. For verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's the direction that the love is coming from God to us. Our love to God can change. There are those who can backslide, and their love for God is not what it used to be. So our love can wax and wane. God's love is fixed. God's love is unchangeable. It's always the same. There's a lovely couple of verses in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, towards the end of the book. The Song of Solomon is an interesting book of the Old Testament, of the Bible. There are those who would just come down on the side that it's about human love between a man and his wife. Others see that it is an allegory. It is like a pilgrim's progress, where there is God's love for his people. Christ, the bridegroom, and the church's bride. And of course, you can see both things in it. But it says in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave, its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame." So you can see here a passionate love. And of course, a man and a woman, that love can be passionate. "Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it." Here we have not just a passionate love, but a permanent love. Nothing is going to wipe this love away. "Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it." Nothing will take it away. And as well as seeing that it's a passionate love and a permanent love, we see that it's a priceless love. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. You cannot set a price on love. But when you think about these verses in Romans chapter 8, how that it's a passionate love, how that it's a permanent love, for nothing shall separate us from such love, how it's a priceless love. Where could you buy such love as this? And such is the love of God. And when you come to these verses, it's as if Paul has two lists. In verse 35, there's seven things mentioned. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And when you come to verses 38 and 39, it seems that we have groupings, like five groupings. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And I've just worked out an outline here that we can see. It's as if, as one writer has said, that Paul has ransacked the universe. And from his mental investigation, he turns with the note of exuberant triumph, "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it's as if he says, tribulation, can you separate me from the love of Christ? Distress, can you separate me from the love of Christ? And we could go down the list that way. And when you look at them closely, there are some of these things that he mentions are caused by people, by other people, by wicked people. And we can see that maybe we can bring in under wicked people, tribulation and distress and persecution can be caused by other people, our fellow man. We can bring under famine and nakedness, we can bring in want, famine and nakedness. Under peril and sword, we could maybe bring in war. And then we can see in verse 37 that we can be winners. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then it's as if Paul just goes out of this world and out of this planet, and he just says, whatever. Neither death nor life, just our existence here, and all that we go through. And he goes into the spirit world, the unseen, the spirit world, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, demonic powers, satanic influences, things present or things to come, height nor depth, just whatever. Whatever else you want to mention. And Paul has just covered absolutely everyone and everything. And he asks them all, can you separate me from the love of Christ? The love that Christ has for me. The love that God has for me. Can you separate me from that love? And Paul just concludes that all of these things are powerless to do so. Let's look at these things a bit closer. Wicked people. Tribulation. Distress. Persecution. Well, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. There will be those who will be against Christians and all that the Christian stands for. There will be those who will despise the Bible. Just treat the Bible as rubbish. It's slowly but surely leaving schools and councils and government. Jesus said in the world, you will have tribulation. You can't avoid it. Peter said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's unavoidable. Acts 14, verse 23, Paul said in one of his missionary journeys, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Between your profession of faith and entering the kingdom of God, there will be many tribulations of some kind or another, to some degree or another. It's unavoidable. But don't be thinking that during that time of tribulation, when your mind may think negatively, that Christ does not love you, or that your Savior has forgotten about you, because nothing can separate you. Tribulation cannot separate you from His love. Neither can distress. Distress can be caused by other people, by wicked people. Distress. And the meaning behind that word is in difficult circumstances, of being hemmed in so that movement is restricted, even imprisonment. Four of Paul's letters were written from prison when he was in prison. Paul is outlining these things and he's speaking from personal experience. He has experienced these things, things that you and I will never. But Paul did. Persecution. Again, that is common as well, isn't it? The church was born in persecution. The church has always known persecution. One early church father said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That's what enables it to grow. And when you read in history, some of the times of persecution before the Protestant Reformation, and even afterwards, the days of John Huss, who lived before Martin Luther, and you come down through those times, you read of the Spanish Inquisition, the horrible forms of torture devised by the Roman Catholic Church in those days. Persecution. The time of the Romans. Persecution. Caused by wicked people. But these things cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul himself was at one time a persecutor before his conversion. But the persecutor became the persecuted when he trusted Christ as his Savior. And then we can think of the word want. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? Again, Paul experienced these things. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Those times of being in want. And yet there are those within Christendom. There are those who teach a health and wealth gospel. Be careful with the televangelists that you watch. Be careful. Be careful with the God channel. Because they would teach that the Christians are to be healthy. There's something wrong with your faith. If you lose your health, if you take ill, something wrong, examine yourself. Examine your heart. And that we should be financially well off. You should have a very healthy bank account. Paul talks about famine and nakedness, being in want. Now those are material things, health and wealth. There are many Christian people who don't have either, who don't have either health or wealth. They're some of the finest Christians that you'll ever meet. They're some of the most godly that you'll ever meet. Paul experienced famine. He experienced nakedness. Was there something wrong with Paul's faith? Was there something wrong with him? Of course there wasn't anything wrong with him. Want. And yet we can think of Psalm 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's all spiritual blessings available in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's a what, isn't it? Because you can think of what shall separate us. But these things are caused by people. Who shall separate us? The one that causes tribulation, the one that causes distress, or for you to be in a distressed state, the one who persecutes you, famine or nakedness. And we can think of peril or sword. Maybe we can think there of war. We can think of violence, peril. The word peril means when you're afraid, when you're in danger, when your life is threatened. Nobody wants to be in such a state as that, in peril or sword. So these are different experiences that can be caused by people. That any one of us could be called upon to endure at some particular point. And if so, to lean heavily on these words, that Christ loves you, and that doesn't change. And you know, when you think of other scriptures, when you think of Hebrews chapter 11, the end of Hebrews chapter 11, and some of the things that the people experienced there, from verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Those were tremendous experiences, triumphant experiences. Things were going well. But everybody did not experience that. In the middle of verse 35, it says others were tortured. Is that because they were inferior Christians to these other ones? They were weaker in faith? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All different kinds of experiences. Very, very difficult times. Paul says, I am persuaded that these things that I've outlined to you, they shall never be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, no one. It's as simple as that. No one. No matter what that one does. Whether causing tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or pearl or sword, no one. Wicked people, want, war. And we can be winners. Verse 36, Paul quotes from Psalm 44 and verse 22. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul doesn't say, yet in all these things we are conquerors. It was greater than that. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We did a series in the book of Psalms some time ago, the Psalms of the Sons of Korah. Psalms that are found in the 40s and in the 80s. And one of those Psalms, and the longest of those Psalms, is Psalm 44. And it's not the first Psalm that jumps into your mind that is well known throughout the book of Psalms, but it is a very profitable Psalm. It opens up with God's people looking back over history and thanking God for the way that he was with them and blessed them. But there's a part in the middle of the section, or in the middle of the psalm, where God seems to be not there for his people. Verse 17 says, all this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. You know, these people remained faithful. Yet it seems that when they went out against their enemies, the Lord wasn't with them as before. They were defeated. They were put to shame. Verse 9 says, and you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy. You know what has gone wrong? This is a mystery. God does not necessarily give them an answer. All they were called upon was to trust in God. Verse 20 says, if we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Then we would have deserved what came to us. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the context of that verse. In Psalm 44, the people were experiencing some of these things that Paul has outlined. Tribulation, distress, persecution, peril, sword against the enemy. They were being overcome. But yet in their faithful trust in God, knowing that God loves them, and irrespective of what is going on, they were more than conquerors. They were more than conquerors. They were winners. Ask the martyrs of Roman times. One, a Roman emperor, Julian, became known as Julian the Apostate. He reigned a very short time, 361 to 363 AD, inflicted terrible persecution upon the Christians at that time. But one of his nobles said to him, we are ashamed, O emperor. The Christians laugh at your cruelty and grow the more resolute. Persecution does not keep the church down. It causes the church to grow. Ask the Covenanters of Scotland in the killing times of the 17th century, 1638 to 1688, how they fought tooth and nail for the crown rights of Jesus Christ. More than conquerors through him that loved us. And then in verses 38 and 39, we can see whatever, just whatever else there is. Paul has outlined and mentioned specific things. But here's an interesting couple of verses and things that he mentions. For I am persuaded, Paul is absolutely sure, Paul has no doubt whatsoever. And we'll just take these things as they come. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, our existence here, both of these experiences with their uncertainties, life and death. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And no matter what happens in life, it cannot separate you from God's love. And even when it comes that moment when you die, you'll not be separated. Even death cannot separate you from God's love. In fact, death will take you into his presence in heaven to be with him forever. What a moment to look forward to. Death nor life because our Saviour has conquered death. And in about a month's time, we'll be thinking of that when we approach Easter. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, the unseen spirit world, evil spirits, the world of evil spirits and Satan, which is a neglected subject. And yet these are the things that are influencing people. You take some of the terrible acts of violence today. You take paedophilia. You take serial killers. I believe that these perpetrators are demon-possessed, possessed of evil spirits. I have no doubt about that. Unseen but malignant spirits capable of exercising an evil influence upon the lives of Christians with all their subtlety, because Paul talks about evil spirits, about seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And if there are evil spirits behind false teaching, then there's evil spirits behind everything. Pornography, paedophilia, violence. Terrible, terrible things. But these things cannot separate us from God's love. Nor things present, nor things to come. And there you can think of the present and the future. And we sang, I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. But one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way to me. Nor things present, nor things to come. And I love the way the New Living Translation puts it, which some of you have. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. That is beautiful. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Things present or things to come. As one has said, the present with its problems, the future with its forebodings, can do nothing to separate us from the great and deep love with which God in Christ smiles down upon us, and from which, from moment to moment, he bestows on us, forgiving, helping, and encouraging us on our way through life. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, and the meaning behind that is astrology, nor height, looking up into the heavens, the height and depth. Our planet Earth is a very small planet in space, even one of the smallest of the nine planets, nor height nor depth. And it doesn't matter what direction that you look. As one has said, nothing in the whole realm of space, in whatever direction the mind may travel, people won't leave the house in the morning until they consult their stars in the newspaper or whatever. It always interests me that no matter what magazine that you get, and there's astrologers, no matter what newspaper you buy and there's an astrologer, everyone will tell you something different about the future. And I've always found that very interesting. They'll all be different. If it was all right, they would all tell you the same thing. But they don't. And we live in an age when so many are dependent upon astrology. They're consulting the stars. And in recent years, the subject of of UFOs and looking for life on other planets, and millions are being spent to see if there's life on other planets. But if you were to simply consider the other planets are either too hot or too cold to sustain life. Planet Earth is just right with its atmosphere, with its balance of oxygen and so on. Everything's just right to sustain life. And that's the reading behind the words here, nor height nor depth. All of these things are misleading, taking you away from the truth of God's word, taking you away from the truth of his love, that he loves you forever. And Paul just seems to exhaust the whole thing. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. So he has absolutely left nothing and no one out. The ESV says, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I have tried my best this past few weeks, especially this morning, to bring to you something of the love of God, even in our call to worship. The love of God. If every stalk on earth was a quill to write something of the love of God, if the sky was a parchment, it wouldn't be enough. Would drain the ocean dry. The love that God has. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if that is the love that God has for me, and after reading and passing on these verses to you, surely does it not speak to your heart of the love that you should have for him? Does it not touch your heart? What comforting words these are to our souls. What comforting words these are to those Christians who are passing through difficult times, who have received bad news. And yet, in Romans 8, the whole chapter, but verses 35 to 39, here is good news for you in your bad news. If that illness should cause distress, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If those evil spirits should come along and mock you and give you insinuating thoughts, what kind of a God is this you're trusting in? Look at the illness that you have and all the rest of it. How could he love you? Look what he's caused to you. Nothing, no one shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in these verses, we have people, we have circumstances, we have the unseen angelic world, and not one of them, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how more powerful than you, God loves you. And that will never change. And may the Lord bless these things to your hearts this morning, and let us have a better grasp of them than we have ever had.